This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's great tip, the secrets of congregational prayers in our Ubudiyah, and why some people might not participate in these congregational prayers. So, dear listeners, it's really great to have you with us on the program. We're talking about how congregational prayers truly have these great rewards when it comes to our ubudiyah, and it has great rewards both spiritually and materialistic benefits. But more specifically, we've been talking about some of the excuses, some of the reasons which people bring up in order to not attend the congregational prayers. Now, as we have said in many other programs, many times these excuses aren't really justifiable. They really are just excuses. So we wanted to go ahead and take some of these excuses which are brought forth in not wanting to attend congregational prayers and really nullify and void these excuses so that we can attend the congregational prayers, whether it is in our own home or at the local masjid, the mosque, or the Husseiniyah or the Islamic Center, and really gain the benefits of this specific form of worship as regards to our ubudiyah. Now, there are people who associate the shortcomings of the imams, the prayer leaders, kith and kin, meaning his relatives or his family. And so because of the shortcomings of the prayer leaders' family, people have a tendency to not accept this individual as the imam. So, for example, the imam's son or the imam's daughter or the imam's wife, you know, or even if we go farther, the imam's father-in-law, the imam's cousin, these people have some sort of shortcoming, some sort of flaw, some sort of mistake, some sort of imperfection. And because these people have an imperfection, we don't accept the prayer leader. Now, of course, you know, we have to keep everything in balance. Yes, if it is the immediate family of the imam who is doing, you know, bad things, and I'm talking about bad things, you know, whether it's, cheating or lying or stealing or, committing haram acts, you know, drinking alcohol or something like that. These are things that need to be addressed because this immediate family member of the prayer leader of the imam does reflect not only on him, but it has an impact on the society and the community as well. But here what we're talking about is we're talking about shortcomings. So the imam's son is really hyperactive, you know, or he really likes to play video games. Or the imam's daughter is a little bit rude. She doesn't say thank you. She doesn't say please. You know, it's these kind of shortcomings is what we're talking about. And these shortcomings, my dear friends, do not reflect the imam. And definitely these shortcomings of the imam's family, whether immediate or distant, does not take the imam out of being just. Right? These are normal shortcomings that people have. They should be forgiven. They should be looked over. And if possible, sure, they should be rectified and helped and supported. But definitely, the shortcomings of the imam's kith and kin should not be a reason for us to not benefit from the spiritual and worldly benefits of congregational prayers.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of the program, Foresight. My name is Muhammad, and today I'd like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatul Raghibin, The Beseechers. My God, though my stores for traveling to you are few, my confidence in you has given me a good opinion. Though my sin has made me fear your punishment, my hope has let me feel secure from your vengeance. Though my misdeed has exposed to me to your penalty, my excellent trust has apprised me of your reward. Though heedlessness has put to sleep my readiness to meet you, knowledge has awakened me to your generosity and boons. Though excessive disobedience and rebellion have estranged me from you, the glad tidings of forgiveness and good pleasure have made me feel intimate with you. I ask you, by the splendors of your face and the lights of your holiness, and I implore you by the tenderness of your mercy and the gentleness of your goodness to verify my opinion in expecting your great generosity and your beautiful favor through nearness to you, proximity with you, and enjoyment of gazing upon you. Here I am, addressing myself to the breezes of your freshness and tenderness, having recourse to the rain of your generosity and gentleness, fleeing from your displeasure to your good pleasure, and from you to you, hoping for the best of what is with you, relying upon your gifts, utterly poor toward your guarding.
Welcome back, dear listeners, in continuation to what we were talking about, which were some of the common excuses that are put forth for not going to the congregational prayers. And we were going one by one and kind of trying to null and void these excuses that are brought forth for not going to the congregational prayers so that we can one by one remove these obstacles and join the spiritual and worldly benefits of congregational prayers, especially as regards to our ubudiyya, our servitude of Allah. Now, there are some people who, out of their arrogance or their pride, unfortunately, there are people who are not willing to participate in the congregational prayers under the leadership of a young person, relatively young person, or a relatively poor person, in spite of that prayer leader, that imam, being sincere, committed, religious, and meritorious. It is interesting, but we also find this same phenomenon in the history of Islam, where they used to say to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon him, that he is too young for the position of an imam, and thus they didn't allow him to be the caliph and the imam of the Muslims. When in fact, the Holy Prophet himself made Osama, towards the end of his life, he made Osama, who was a young man, perhaps around the same age of 18 or 19, made him the commander of the army. And again, so the Prophet, based upon his courage, his sincerity, his committedness, determination, his steadfastness, made Osama commander of the army. And here again, people had a problem with this as well. Dear friends, age and social status and economic status, financial status, the kind of house you have, the kind of car you drive, the price tag of the clothes that you wear. These things, dear friends, are not the value. They're not the credentials necessary for one to be a good Muslim or for one to be the prayer leader. The thing that is of value, the thing which gives credential, is the knowledge of an individual, the wisdom of the individual, the religiosity of an individual, the sincerity of an individual, the knowledge and wisdom capacity that an individual has, and perhaps even the potential that an individual has, the capability, the ability that a person has. These things, dear friends, are what matters. And it is these things that need to be taken into consideration when we're talking about the prayer leader, not the age or the financial status of a person.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa bihi nasta'in wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the most beautiful sayings of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam is on optimism, which in Arabic we say husnul dhan. When a person is optimistic with regard to somebody, he is muhsinul dhan, one who does husnul dhan. With regard to Allah, how should we be? This is what Imam is trying to tell us and teach us. He is reported to have said, ahsinul dhan billah, fa inna man hassana dhannahu billah, kana Allah inda dhannihi. It is a very powerful statement. Listeners, if you come to understand the depth of this statement, your whole life will change. We are told here, have a good opinion of Allah. That means think well about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't jump into conclusions. Sometimes you find that, let's say a person gets sick, you start complaining, oh Allah, it is because you made him sick. Don't do that. Think properly. Sometimes you get hurt, sometimes you get a loss. These losses and this getting hurt and all these problems is sometimes very good for you. Sometimes it's because what you have done to yourself. But don't just say that, oh Allah, why did you make me sick? Why did you make my mother sick, for example? Why did you make this person die and so on? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for us, it is the best. Obviously, this is important to know that whatever happens is by His permission. Because the moment we say that, no, this act was done independently, that is impossible. Everything, and that's why we also say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. That means every action that we do is by Allah's permission. But Allah has made a system that you can choose between right and wrong. So if you choose right, Allah will help you to do right. If you choose wrong, Allah will help you to do wrong. But if, for example, Allah blocks you in the wrong, that means, you know, you are forced to do right. And that is not according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'asumin. Ilahana ma'adalak maliki kulli man malak.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, Fi amanillah, and God bless you all. لبيك لك لبيك إني